All right. Welcome back. This is Nitza Moshe from the Remnant Radio Show, and I am with Suzette, and we are doing the Preparation Skills for the Bride series. Okay, first aid kit, not regarding essential oils, but overall, things that we should have.
Yeah, one of the things to remember about first aid kit items is the veterinary supply stores will often have things like syringes and ACE bandages and things like that for more for your money. And, yeah. You know, basics, Band-Aids, sometimes you can find them on sale. And we talked about linen. And, you know, you're going to want wound care, sterile water, or a way to sterilize water for eye flushing. If you get, like, a couple of clean syringes and you have those, you can use that for flushing out wounds.
Okay. All right. And so you just want to make sure you have the bandage items. And, you know, it's good to have the tapes and stuff. But, again, one of the reasons I love linen is because you can tie it.
Yep. Linen is wonderful.
Okay.
I did make – we talked about making our own bandages, and I have some actually stuck in with my gauze and bandages, my linen bandaging.
Right. Yeah. So they could come in for your feminine needs and your other needs. So that's definitely something to keep. All right. Well, let's talk about just a minute on where to get linen. You know, I get several emails a week. Some people think we sell linen fabric. We do not at remnantremedy.net, but we do sell linen thread and we do sell linen items made from the fabric. You know, it's not the choicest linen in the world, but most people can afford Belgium or European linen. But fabricsstore.com, and I think there's a dash between fabrics and store, has been the best price, especially if you order it by the bulk. Then I can get it any fabric store. And so that's a good place to go. And if, you know, if you get in with some other people and buy a bolt of some natural or white linen, that is, you know, you can get it. Well, it used to be $450, but the prices have been volatile the last 6 months with the European euro going. But I'd say you can get anywhere from $7 to $10, depending on how much you order. And you get points when you order, so every time you get linen, they give you more points, and sometimes, you know, that really helps you save. So I encourage you to check that out.
And that's an excellent price. I know it, like Joanne's, the craft store, I think it runs about 14 something a yard. And there's a very little limited selection, not a lot of selection in the weights or the colors. And I do a lot of my linen shopping on eBay. And sometimes you just happen across a good sale. I don't think I've ever gotten it for $4 a yard, but $8 a yard is not unusual, and they do have varying weights and stuff, so that's another good source.
Oh, and remember, don't forget the thrift store where you can buy something for $1 to $4 or $5, and strip it down. You know, you're not going to get your material that cheap, for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So there's other ways. There's ways to do that. Okay, so fishing equipment.
You know, give a man a fish and he'll eat once, and teach a man to fish, he can eat for life, right? And fishing equipment, you can do as little as some string and a couple of hooks, and you don't even really have to have the bobbers in that, but even if you just had a couple of hooks and some string tucked into some little container and put in your flea bag or in your automobile or whatever, you would have that ability. And fish is a great food. But there's a lot of equipment you can get on sale as well. I try to go to the stores when they're running their clearances, and you can pick up quite a bit, you know, packs of hooks for 50 cents or so and get different sizes and a lot of stuff. And for your tackle boxes, go to the home organizing department where they're cheaper than if you buy them as tackle boxes.
Right. So, like, if you go to the craft or sewing department, it's cheaper than the fishing tackle, right? But basically
right.
The same thing. Right. And I wish I knew the name of the movie, but there was a movie about this guy that was stranded with, I think it was an Inuit, Alaskan woman. And, you know, she carried with her this little tiny thing all wrapped up. And that's how she kept both of them surviving, was she knew how to cut that hole in the ice and put that down in there and do the fish. And fish, you know, I wouldn't really want to eat it uncooked, but it is something because it doesn't really have, you know, once you've gut it out, there's no blood in the meat.
And I know
But
there's some
that's.
issues about, you know, people think about Fukushima and that kind of thing, but as long as it's a clean fish, you know, if we're hungry, it's certainly a good source of food if there's a water supply that has fish in it. And that's
Right.
it's easy tools, and it's not likely as likely that we would lose the ability to fish as we would necessarily the ability to hunt.
Right. And then, of course, you know, we won't go into the fish and wildlife game issues with that. You know, you should follow the rules. But in a starving situation, you know, or nuclear disaster or war or whatever it is, you know, when we're talking survival, the rules will change. And if you're dying anyway, you know, those are things that we'll all have to deal with
Yeah, follow the
realistically.
rules, but in an emergency situation, yeah, do what you need to do.
So, okay. And then we got the flashlight, mag light.
Yes, and we talked about this when we did the auto list for the travel, for the start of the show, but to touch on flashlights again, this is really, really a critical tool because fire is hard to make sometimes, and unless you should have fire-making tools. But a flashlight just makes it easy and takes away a lot of that stress. You still should be able to make fire, but it's not as easy to carry fire either for light. And you definitely should have one in your car and in your flea bag and in your house, and have them in areas of your house where they're convenient, like have one in your nightstand, have one maybe in your living room somewhere. If you have a power outage, it's nice to know exactly where you can go to grab one. And for batteries, definitely use an good brand alkaline battery. For my car, I keep the 4D size Maglite in there, and it has been trustworthy, and when I've gotten stuck in the middle of the winter, I pulled it out and it worked. Now you should check it on a regular basis, but the batteries last a long time if you get good quality. And we talked about this before, the expiration date is only the date when they're not 100% at their power. So definitely use a good flashlight and check it periodically and make sure you have them. And there's so many different kinds now. They have little miniature ones that are lightweight. They have ones that glow in the dark. They have ones that have the solar charging on them. I do not recommend at all a shake or a crank flashlight for your emergency supplies. If you have those in addition to your battery flashlights, that's fine, but you don't want to expend the energy to have to crank or shake your flashlight, and sometimes those mechanisms can wear out. And if you think about it, have a couple of extra light bulbs in your supplies. They don't usually burn out, but it could happen.
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, a lot of times you can find really cheap flashlights, you know, in a packet. How important do you think it is that you get a good flashlight versus and or some cheap plastic flashlights?
If it's my survival and having light, I would definitely have at least one good flashlight.
Okay.
I
Like
mean,
the kind
Maglites
like the
are,
police
you know, they're
officers use
expensive,
that you
but
can.
even now they have the LED, which uses even less battery power.
Okay.
And you can buy multi-packs, like at the warehouse stores like Costco and that. They have the new, there's a new spiffy one that, I don't know, I don't think it's a Maglite brand, but it has a magnet on it, and it has like a cutter end on one side of it. There's some really great innovations in flashlights, and I would recommend buying one good one because those cheap ones, it doesn't matter how much you saved on it, if you go to use it and the wires don't work and it's disconnected or it's corroded because it somehow wasn't put together well, or it cracks because it's, you know, cheap plastic, it's not going to do you any good.
Right.
But if you
Okay.
find cheap ones on sale, it's not bad to have extras.
Yeah, I like to use them for like the kids' grab bags, you know, so that every child can have one. But you know, mom or dad will have, or one of the older children would, you know, have a much better bag.
Right.
Excuse me, flashlight. Which is the next subject, the flea bag.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about what goes in a flea bag. Don't make it so heavy you can't carry it. I definitely
Well, by
recommend
now
having
it's
one.
really big.
There's different kinds. You could get a regular backpacking backpack. You could do a military pack, like a rucksack. I have some waterproof backpacks because I just got a good deal on them. and we have them packed. They actually sit in our dining room for now, and they have basics like a coat, a flashlight. I have a jar of honey that's sealed in a vacuum bag, a toothbrush, toothpaste, a change of clothes. You'd want to have your other stuff that is important that you might want to throw in, or you want to have copies of your important documentation, like
yes,
your deeds to your house, maps. I would have laminated or have them in waterproof bags. And anything you put in there in a Ziploc bag, you want to make sure that you have, in a vacuum-sealed bag that you would have to cut open, you want to make sure you have some Ziploc bags to put that stuff into it after you open the vacuum pack bag, and have some a water, like they have some survival waters that have a long shelf life, and or your canteen cup, and maybe some kind of long-term food in there, something small that's easy to carry, an MRE or some of the survival bars.
Right, and I always put extra Ziploc bags in my Ziploc bag, so you never know what
too.
You might be able to have to use it for. So.
And there are really good packing lists for flea bags, and I don't have one here in this list, but there are some really great ones out there that will tell you exactly what you would have. But and this list does indicate things that you would put into your flea bag versus into your car, into your general supply. But I haven't actually put a gathered up list of just flea bag items. Can be used for dental floss, but also use it for fishing line or for rope. Obviously, you would have to test it for your rope strength, but it could be, you get a lot of floss in a floss container. You could double or triple it, braid it, if you needed it a little bit stronger.
Hey, I'm wondering if you could fly fish with it.
Possibly.
I'd probably get, maybe not heavy enough, but I was just thinking about the waxed one, you know, since you wax your fly line. So that would be interesting. And, if you have to become, if you were hunting or something and you needed to clean your teeth out, and the main reason for that is because you don't want to get an infection in your teeth. Because then if you're dealing with an infection, and that might not seem like a big deal for a lot of people, but for some of us, like particularly for me, one of the things that I struggle with is bone loss in my jawline. And so that affects my teeth. And so there's a lot of things I can't eat. And if I do, I've got to make sure that's clean, or I could get an infection. And same thing with children, you know?
Yep. And if you have to, you can get those little pick things like for the kids.
Right.
They're not as, you can't fish with them, but if you really needed to have floss, if you like that, if you were a person who that was a more serious concern, then get the things that will make it, easy to do.
Right. And I bet you could think of other things to do with those if you had to, because they are sharp on one. A lot of them, are actually sharp on one end. And maybe drill a hole and sew with them. I don't know. But
yeah,
I'm sure there's things that you could do with them if you had to. What about flotation devices?
Well, anything that is plastic and filled with air and sealed can be used as a flotation device. And we have seen a lot of flooding. Now, the military, the BDUs are made to help with flotation. They're not actually, real flotation devices, but they have tie strings at the pant legs, and they're supposed to help you. I never tested it, but if you get some air in them, they're supposed to help you stay afloat a little better. But you can do this with, like, empty milk jugs or coolers float, anything that is filled with air and plasticky. You can put those things, if they're small, you can put them out in your clothes, and that will help you stay afloat. Or like a big cooler, you would just hang on to it to help you stay afloat. And then there's the real ones.
Right, the actual flotation that you use, like with lifeguarding and stuff like that, with boating.
Yep. And, this would be like an emergency situation. If something happened and, a big flood came, there would be things probably that would naturally float from your house, household goods. And, you would want to make sure that you could grab onto what you could. Anything that would help you not get too tired.
Okay. All right. And what about flour, like F-L-O-U-R?
This is one of the best storage items for having bulk storage of foods, because it's easily available, it's inexpensive, and it stores long-term. There's several ways you can store it. One way is to store it in Rubbermaid tubs and you seal them with caulk. Like a 14-gallon Rubbermaid tub will hold 3 25-pound bags of flour. Bugs are what spoil flour, so you want to keep the bugs out. You do not want to store the healthy flour, sadly. The whole grain flours go rancid in about 6 months. The white flour that's really unhealthy is what lasts pretty much indefinitely, unless you get bugs. Flour-based foods such as biscuits, pancakes, flatbreads, etc., the ratio is 2 pounds per day per person, a 3 meal a day of an average adult male. So when you're in an emergency situation, you need to have high calories, and that's one thing that flour products do. And we talked about frying the bread. That's easy to do with little energy if you fry it. And with just a basic ingredient, flour, water, maybe a pinch of salt, you can make a basic bread.
Right. Now, and like you said, that we're talking about white flour here. We're not talking about whole grain flour for long-term storage. Because once you grind that flour, whether it's spelt or whole wheat or kamut, whatever, you're going to, you have broken into the endosperm, and the essential fatty oil that's in there begins to oxidize within about 72 hours as far as the maximum nutrition. However, I think you can get, like if you freeze it or store it properly, vacuum packed, et cetera, like you said, maybe 3 to 6 months, you can maybe get more if you freeze it. Now, you might want to consider, though, this is where my side of the brain would go, is let me vacuum pack not just in number 10 cans, but in small quantities, maybe for a backpack, some whole grains, groats, which are what oats are before they're rolled. Those are really cool because they're soft enough to chew, and you're still getting the benefit of what you would with oats. If you did a wheat berry, kamut, spelt berry, there are some small, they're not really meant for a lot of use, long-term use, but you can get small handheld, well, not handheld, but little small things that you can, vice to something and grind. You can get small hand grinders. So that's, something that you might want to consider. Not necessarily maybe just a flea bag situation, though that would be good to have, for emergency, but so that if you're in a temporary place that you are being able to grind some better nutrition. So that's just something else to consider. And again, it depends on the availability of these things to you and, whether it's short-term, long-term, et cetera.
Yes, I do have a hand grinder as well and some regular wheat berries, but I do have quite a bit of flour just because it's something that either could be traded if I don't want to eat it, mm-hmm. like my white sugar. We gave up white sugar a while ago, but I had already started storing it when we decided to not eat it anymore. But I think that's going to be a really great barter item. But
right.
White flour is definitely not the best idea for nutrition, but it's good for long-term storage.
Right. And, just in case you might need it, we are putting together a pinata to release flies and frogs and snakes for Passover. And the children are using white flour for glue. So, maybe if there's some kind of need for a glue situation, you might want to check out how to make some glue from white flour. So maybe there's some other uses for it too.
Yeah, we made a pinata out of white flour.
So, all right. Well, we have just a few more minutes, and let's finish. Maybe we'll get one or two more items here. How about food or energy bars?
Yeah, there are some specific ones for survival. I have some that they're made to go in a car and take the heat in the cold, and they last for 5 years. And there's basic ones, you go in the health food section, there's a lot of those. You can make your own. And they usually have a pretty good shelf life. Check the expiration date and just keep those, some of those in your flea bag, some of those in your car. I always have some granola bars in the car just because I never want to be completely without food. I just have a few stuck in the glove box. If anything happened, I'd at least have a little something. And there's a lot out there. Just look at, you know, what you want, what you like, your flavors, and they're easy to store.
And you know, and again, we're not talking optimum nutrition here so much as we're talking, you know, you get hungry, you get sick, you have low sugar, you haven't eaten for days or hours, and, you know, you might have older, younger people, just different kinds of issues where they need to have something for energy to go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, survival is not, sadly, not necessarily about nutrition, nutrition, nutrition,
right,
but more about getting through.
Okay, and maybe we have time if we're quick to, what's this torpedo food?
A food torpedo. You can store dried foods in a large PVC pipe or other container, and you seal it and you bury it in the yard for hidden long-term storage. Or you could bury it if you had like a bug-out trail. You could bury some along your bug-out trail so that you'd have to make sure you knew how to find them again. But it would be a way to keep a stash that wouldn't be easily found by others.
Okay. Now, and so you could like use a PVC pipe and you get the caps and you put them on the end, right?
And seal it. Yeah, I would put my food inside of a different bag. I wouldn't put raw food into. PVC is toxic. It's
right,
not
like
healthy
maybe
at all.
But, a Ziploc bag or something.
Yeah, put it in your vacuum bags or Ziploc bags and put it inside of the PVC.
And then when
you
put,
bury it.
When you know, just like plumbing, you cap off the ends. And that way there's no smell. And so hopefully, even if a dog was to dig it up or, say, a mountain lion or whatever, that they wouldn't smell it. And the animal couldn't just, you know, easily get into it either.
Right.
What would you recommend to open those up? I mean, are you sealing them with PVC glue or, you know, do they, you get the kind where you screw them on or what, how would you get those open?
I'm thinking I would caulk it shut because caulk could easily be broken, you know,
okay,
like a regular bathroom caulk or something. You could get a sharp rock or a stick and cut that off and it
okay.
would seal it.
Okay. All righty. And Fresnel lens.
This is the full sheet magnifier. Sometimes you can be blessed and find them in a dollar store, but they're usually somewhere around $3 to $4 or $5, and they're plastic. Sometimes they're rigid, sometimes they're flexible, and you can start a fire with one of these in a few minutes from the sunlight. And we have tried this. I have tried this, the credit card size, and I could not easily start a fire with that. They're very lightweight. They could go just about anywhere, your flea bag, in your car. And it's just, like I said, just that magnifying tool. And it's so inexpensive, but it could, with sunlight, enable you to start a fire. And fairly easily.
So this is kind of like the one that, for instance, I got a great big page magnifier with a Geneva Bible once. That kind
it's got grooves in it, all around grooves.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that, but it was a magnifying. It was a page magnifier.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, and that makes sense. You could use a magnifying to start fire, right? So
yes.
Anything that magnifies the light, then, though that's interesting. So we could use that. And that's kind of on the same concept as using a mirror too, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. We talk about that somewhere about the cosmetic mirrors that are like 5, 10, 15 times the power, those work really well to start fires as well.
Okay, yeah, cosmetic mirrors. All right. Okay, and gauze.
Well, we talked about that. Our favorite is linen because it has natural healing properties. Mm-hmm. It is expensive if you buy it. I mean, anybody who's tried to go buy gauze in the you know, department store, the grocery store, knows how much it is. It's actually much cheaper to buy fabric, and it's better. But if you have some, you can get some on sale. It's good to have some for your first aid kit and in your other kits.
All right. All right. Well, we're almost out of time, and we will be back again next week, Father willing. And we're going to talk about the essential oils in your first aid bag with Suzette. And we look forward to being back here with you, and may your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shame. Shalom.
Shalom.